bringing you the good news all day long. You were tuned in to the hottest station
on the planet.
Keep it locked.
Woo, keep it locked indeed. We are still getting the best from Dr. Sarah Alba Afari, the first female police PhD holder, not only in Ghana, but Africa. She's my guest. If you have not shared this broadcast, what are you waiting for? Come on, share this broadcast as many times as possible. Dr. Sarah, you have said so much. Yo, South Africa is a nation that is battling with crime, with violence. Violence against men, violence against women. South Africa statistics when it comes to crime, it's an epidemic. It's crazy. You talk about understanding how humans behave, how they think, solving problems. You talk about recommendations that you have made. What can you say to our people, to our police? What is it that we are missing? You spoke about the missing link. Can you help us find the missing link in South Africa, Dr. Sarah?
Yes, our 10th Ananza.
Yes.
South Africa is a unique case.
A special case, maybe.
Yes.
Yes, unique and special. Hard case, yes. All things. The mic swings to you, ma'am.
Yes. You see, if you say South Africa crime related issue has become a pandemic, then as an I would address this issue in three perspectives, in as a professional police officer and as an academician and as a minister of gospel and a traditionalist. You see, during the apartheid, certain most rights were taken from the indigenous, that is a non-white population. So they suffered so many things, which you know. And then they were subjected to poverty and then given inferior education. They did not give them opportunity to train themselves, have the requisite skill set. Yes. And then which was a design by the apartheid regime to keep them like that. So now when there is freedom, most people did not have the right skill set to take up jobs as expected. Only few might be ready for that. And now they, as Africans, they might want to take over the businesses, the things of the white man to appease themselves, but they did not also have that opportunity because of the interventions put in place. And then now there is liberty, there is freedom. Movement is not restricted, but most of the youth then did not have, I said, the requisite skill set. So some may go back to school, some may not. And the commission, the truth and then that commission said to reconcile the whole South Africans and then bring peace. Some may enjoy that peace, have peace, make reconcile themselves. But there is a deficit. Yes, there is a deficit because the populace, that gap, those who experience the apartheid regime who are still not old men will still have some pain in their heart. And maybe they want some compensation or something of that stuff, which is not done. So psychologically, they might be disordered. They want to do things to draw attention to that deficit or the pain they have. because for them not having the requisite skill sets will subject them to poverty and unemployment, which will lead to many inequalities in that society. So I wouldn't dare to go deeper because this criminal will feel excluded. And they feel excluded because why? In the apartheid regime, there were a lot of relocation, dislocation. People were moved to communities that either they were not supposed to be there. So people lost relevant family ties. Some people may not grow with their parents. Some parents may be in the prison. So these things is a combination of so many things. So as an academician, I would suggest that there should be a policy for rehabilitation so that those who still live in that consciousness will be reconciled to the realities of the time. And after that, they may be offered employable skills through trainings so that they can, at what level, can seek for the job they could do. Because every African has the nobility to work and have a gainful employment to feed families and extended families as well. But in this case, no. So people resort to crime. So I'll also say, as an art therapist and a painter, that the Artists Association in South Africa should be consulted so that they will help people to reform through paintings, engaging them in paintings. And you know, drawing itself is also therapeutic. So that people will be engaged in drawing. There should be mass sensitization activity through paintings and drawing, so that the counseling clinical psychologists and all the therapeutic people who have should be engaged to offer therapy to these people. And I tell you, the people will reconcile, because art therapy, for instance, is a medium where people are allowed to make statements through drawing. By so doing, they are releasing what pains them or what is traumatizing, what is making them depressed or what is, affecting them negatively. Until there is nothing to give up again, because through sessions, all this pain will gradually be over. Another person will be assisted to regain him or herself to accept the current norms in the society and embrace him or herself with, so that people can live in community without fear. Because those who call themselves criminals will become conscious. They will regain themselves because they were not born criminal, but a situation led them to that. And even if they have criminal gangs, these gangs will break up because these people who regain themselves will not be able to join their gangs again, because they see and think with human consciousness, accepted and acceptable to community. I tell you, art is very powerful. So besides, I know the South Africa police doing their possible best to check crime. But I will only say that proactive crime prevention is very good. And then they should also liaise with the traditional authority, the chiefs, the family heads, and the family, so in the community, so that crime can be prevented from the community, that is community policing. So that the police assigned to the community will liaise with the community to police them as to what they want. Because every community is relative. What is needed here, the security need in community A it will not be relevant in community B. So there should be research. And through the police to also liaise with the community heads, identifiable groups in the community, that is the school, the faith-based organization, the churches, the mosques, and then the drivers' unions, the market women unions, they have the information. So when police liaise with them and then they have that rapport, they'll be able to give police information as and when a crime is being perpetrated or is about to be perpetrated so that it can be quelled. Yes, most of the times, little to prevent crime. But we should not always take our mind to sophisticated gadgets. They also help. But a human relationship is very important to crime prevention, where people in the community who call the policeman they trust in the community. Oh, there is something happening here. And when the police move promptly, and that there is prompt judicial a trial, then the confidence of the community will be heightened in the police and the judicial system so that they will be able to give them the lead to prevent crimes in their community. But if this information are not properly managed or attended to, then the community say, oh, well, we need to tell the police they might not act. And this will have a national effect, because if it happens in each community, then the crime rates will so high, because police alone cannot prevent crime. It takes the involvement, the partnership of the community and other stakeholders to prevent crime. Police will have close interaction with schools, the prefect in schools, so that they could liaise with these people to provide a requisite protection for the people, aside liaising with the school authority. They should be all over the place. All of the police should not be a tyrant. The police should be user-friendly police, so people can come to you with this. Crime could be prevented. And you know, South Africa is a big central country for all Africans. You know, because of the mayhem, the pain the indigenous went through, I tell you, all other African countries experienced that at a distance. So when they had their individual freedom, other African countries troop in solidarity to support them, and some remain. And some remain, I'm sure they've remained in your country. So you have all African countries in your country. So the police should have close interaction with all the heads of these African countries. If there are no association of these other African countries, foreigners in their country, the police should encourage the formation of association in relation to countries, so that they'll be able to pass on their policies or whatever to them, and they could also take information from them. This could be a great crime prevention tool. So if that is not done, I think the problem may persist. So we should just tilt a little and do the old things in a new way. And we have the result that we have. Major daughter, no criminal wants to be criminal. Situation push them to become criminals, and some become addicted to crime. They can only stop crime when they are given rehabilitation for them to regain themselves and become useful citizens to themselves and to their community.
Let me just take from what you have just said now about rehabilitation. Are you saying our correctional services are not doing that? Because our correctional services were changed from being prisons but to correctional services, to correct, to rehabilitate. Could it be that they are not able to rehabilitate the criminals, because you say no criminal wants to be a criminal. That's one. Two, you said we need policy for rehabilitation. At some stage in the country, we saw the prisons being changed to correctional services, like I've already said. But does that also mean we need maybe, just maybe, a national day of prayer and forgiveness? We've never really heard anything like that. We did have some programs and some things that were done right after we gained our independence, but national day of prayer, not just prayer, but forgiveness as well. I don't think we've heard that. And you speak also about earth. I'm just going to put everything together so that when you go over it again, you can take us through. You speak about art and the power of art. I mean, where do we start? I mean, the issue of gangs in the country, especially in the Western Cape, it's out of control. It's completely out of control. We're at a time and at a stage as a nation where we need something to be done. You say police cannot prevent crime alone. You said the police alone cannot prevent crime. It takes partnerships. It takes working with faith leaders, traditional leaders, unions. It takes community policing forums. It takes all of us. But Dr. Sarah Afari, tell us, how do we get started? Let's talk about tomorrow. As a citizen, as a member of a society, what do I do tomorrow? Because if we're just gonna just take this advice and say from your mouth rather to the ears of our government or our lawmakers or our police, may it be done. That will not be enough. I go back to your words. You say the police alone cannot prevent crime. It takes partnership. It takes all of us. It takes me. What do I do tomorrow? That's a lot. Dr. Sarah?
Yes. Major Daughter, crime prevention or the fight against crime is a collective responsibility. Okay. As I said, crime prevention or the fight against crime is a collective responsibility. Every member of the community should be interested in crime prevention, because if you say, I don't mind, tomorrow it will be your turn. So, first, the families should have the space to train their children. The government or the policymakers should give encouragement or power to families to nurture their children according to the standard prevailing, the good standard prevailing in that family, because every child is influenced by the family. The mother especially has influence over all her children. Mothers who talk with their eye, their body, without even, mentioning a word, and the children understand. So criminals mostly don't commit crime in their area. They move to other areas to commit crime. So parents should be allowed to use that control to educate, to re-mentor their children so that they abstain from crime. For instance, you know your child is not working, the child bringing you money. Your child is having guns, sidearms. Immediately you need to report to police. You are doing that child good. You are not taking that money, you know your child is not capable. It's not in any gainful employment. And as a mother, you receive this thing, then you are encouraging your child to commit crime. But if you pull that child back to the right African pathway, asking questions. You know, African mothers ask a lot of questions. Ask questions, where did you get this thing from? What? Then the child will be demotivated to do so. And the parents should have time for their home. So if there could be a policy for working women to be able to have enough time for their children, that has a financial implication, but it has a long-term good for the country. Because the women control their husbands. So if the family system is very good, it also reduces what? Crime, because no child wants to disgrace the parent, especially the mother. No child wants to see the mother cry. So the family system is very, very paramount to crime prevention. Everybody wants to appear good before the spiritual leader. That is the pastor, the imam, or the traditional priest, whatever you worship. So they should be encouraged. They should be encouraged and given the red flag, what they should be expecting. So that when they see this in the liaison with the local police, because when crime is reduced in the community is safe, the children can play, parents, mothers relax, knowing that the child is playing next door, no crime, no harm will come to that child. So the gender ministry, I know they are doing well, but they should just review this, reconsider this. The parents should have the ability, the power to train their children according to our traditional precepts. Yes. When that, because it is not a pleasant thing for an African to commit crime. No, it's a shame to the whole family. It is a shame, especially to the parents. That goes to the mother. Yes. So if that is done, it is reduced. I told you, no son or daughter wants to see the mama cry or the grandmama cry. So the police should liaise with the family to control crime. And the school, because most of the time, peer group influence in the schools affect children. So parents should have good rapport with their children so that whatever is going on within the school setup, they'll be able to tell their parents, Mama, I went to school today, this is what happened, so that the parent can take it on from there. I went to school today and this person brought the father's gun to the school. So the parents can take it up from there. But if we are too busy working, and then we don't have time for our children, then they may turn out to be what we don't want, because they'll pick up habits that we are not aware of before we realize they become used to this habit. So parents should have interest in their children so as to always interact with them, manage their children. There should be rapport in the home, so that parents, children can also feel comfortable discussing what happened outside the home to the parent. But you know, African parents, especially some mothers, when children come, especially the girls, say, this man has been stalking me, then the mother will start accusing the child. The girl, you are a bad girl. No, we should stop that. Mothers, African mothers should stop that and listen to their daughters so that they can judge and have solution. If there is problem, they should brainstorm and have solution. And then if they have the solution, they own that solution and work according to that solution. I tell you, faith organizations have great influence over their members. So pastors should know what is right. Pastors should speak the right message. They should speak the right message against crime. Yes. when we go to the scriptures, I'm coming as a minister of the gospel now. When we go to Exodus, it's about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this. If emphasis is laid on that, members will change. So members who are finding it difficult to overcome crime, they might even approach the pastors that I am a criminal. I shouldn't do it, but I am not stopping. Help me. So that person could be referred, prayed for and referred to a rehab to overcome what? That addiction to crime. But as I said, the pastors in South Africa could also come together and consult the God of Abraham, how the crime situation in their country could be resolved, because we believe in divinity. As Africans, we believe in divinity, we believe in higher power. So when they consult the God of Abraham and the traditional priests consult their God, I think people who belong to all these denominations will come back to that consciousness that crime doesn't pay. It's a shame. It's a shame to get yourself involved in crime. When we do this, people will regain themselves. We should not honor people who are criminals with what? A lot of wealth. No, it is not good for posterity. Because if we don't do the right thing now, posterity will judge us and also judge them. So whatever wealth they've gotten will become useless to the generation that will come, that will uphold righteousness. So I request the minister, the women church groups in South Africa, to go on their knee and pray and consult the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for a solution. I know God is able to do that. Because the Bible says, when we leave our problems to him, he cares. So no matter how the situation, God still cares for South Africa. So let's consult him. And let mothers do what is right. Fathers should take responsibility in training their children. Because of what? Most mothers have become single mothers. Because their husbands have gone to work.
Yes.
Men should find time to engage with their children to know what they are doing. They should do the extra mile. Yes. They should not take, oh, my children are okay. No. They should do the extra mile. They should be that African father. Yes. They should exert that authority. Yes. So that they'll bring their children to their normalcy, their lineage. The strides made by the lineage, their ancestors. Yeah, this is all, this is what it should be, how it should be. This is what we should do. The pastors should not be conversant, should not be okay with the security they have. No. They should think about the community who don't have security, who depend on the general security. So everyone is expected to do the extra mile so that they could liaise with the security agency, the policy agency. The police is not the only institution that police, the immigration does. Even the military police and other private policing agencies. So that they collaborate and have a collaborative front so that with this collaborator, they can holistically address crime issues, because they are doing it the same way at different what location. And the government or the agency responsible for resourcing the police should do so. And there should be more police. More people should be recruited into the police. The youth could be recruited into the police, so that they are employed, or the government roll up policies that will engage the youth, a special policy, so that the government will engage them. It's not about the the amount paid them, but the human being, the youth, knowing that we are being engaged here in this way, will be paid this. So there is hope that in future we may get what? A better job. So yes, that one, the law will also defer crime so that the community will be free. In Ghana, we have a youth employment agency so that the youth from school are engaged. They are engaged, given allowance. They are engaged in afforestation. They are engaged in education when they become assistant to teachers. They are engaged in the hospital health institution. They are engaged in the police to assist us. So this will give them hope. And then those who are criminals among them will defer their crime activity. With time, they'll stop. So I will only urge the authority that be, that women and children are always vulnerable. So we should do more to protect them, to offer them the requisite protection they need. Yes, protection they need. They should sensitize the community. There should be a nationwide sensitization program in the country so that everybody who know what to do to also assist in the crime prevention agenda. Artists could be engaged to engage the youth in the community in drawings, in painting murals in vantage places, and about crime prevention. Yes. And then with this, I think the situation, the crime situation, will be reduced to normalcy.
Yes. You say the fight against crime is a collective responsibility. So you say the family system is paramount to crime prevention. The family structure is so broken. No parental care at all. And I believe that most parents have deserted their roles with being so busy and guilty, very busy and guilty, chasing the rent, chasing the dollar. And here we are now. You say pastors should also come together and consult the God of Abraham. What a call. The pastor is a priest of that community. You pierce my heart. You say pastors should not just care about their own security. You know, pastors have been caring so much about their own security, more than the security of our communities. We're guilty. I feel and I perceive I should break every protocol now and ask Dr. Sarah, she's a reverend also, to pray for our nation, that God, that Jehovah, that Yeshua, that Yahweh will spare our people, spare our nation, spare our children, and not hand us over to reproach. That our leaders will be spared, our government will be spared, our policemen will be spared. Because this is it. What other solution do you have, dear listener and viewer? Whew. She says it takes all of us. She says the fight against crime is a collective responsibility. a collective one. Because, I mean, again, think about it. Criminals live in our homes. Some of them are our children, our brothers, our sisters. I mean, that's the reality. Parental care, that hits hard. I'm going to, well, if she agrees, I'm going to ask, I perceive this, this is what I'm sensing, this is what I'm feeling, so I'm going to just break protocol. My producer will forgive me for this. And I'm going to ask now the woman of God to pray for us. Dr. Sarah.
I'm praying. Jehovah God, you are the God of all the earth. The earth is your footstool, including the country South Africa. I thank you for this nation. I bless you for your name, your truthfulness. I bless you that you are a hearing God and you are a prayer answering God. I pray this day the Lord once again show forth your presence, O Lord. Let your name be known in this nation. Let your name, Jehovah, the Almighty God, be known. Just as you reveal yourself to our ancestors, reveal yourself once again to the nation South Africa. Let them see your power and your love. Let them see your power and your love. Lord, I pray that you breathe on this nation once again. Reactivate your promises and your word concerning this nation. And Lord, let revival come upon this land. Raise yes. men and women, the youth, Lord, raise them to speak your oracle. They become your oracle. Raise them yes. to speak about the consciousness of righteousness.
Yes.
And holiness and righteousness. I speak peace to South Africa and I speak revival to you. In the name yes. of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the parents will be responsible to the needs of their children. The parents will enjoy parenthood once again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this revival. I thank you for this revelation of the mind that people will seek you the Most High God once again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bringing you the good news all day long.